Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Remember the good old days when these stories were just amusing? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you recall, not that many years ago, you would tune into your local Christian radio station, and perhaps the afternoon drive host would regale you with a number of stories that, while a little bit troubling, were more amusing. Oh, the pagans and how they're thinking and behaving. Such confusion in the world. Guffaw, guffaw. Well, now it seems these stories are not so funny, because what we are seeing in the news today did not just show up for the first time with today's headline. These stories have been progressing for years, and it does appear now where it is starting to get a lot more personal for Christians and the local church. Do you remember when we first heard about Target, when they decided, we're not going to have a boy's toy aisle and a girl's toy. We're just going to have toy aisles. And we went, oh, that's just so dumb. Well, guess what? Those stories have not stopped. They're just getting a little bit more aggressive. And they're becoming more popularized. And they're having more implications for us. Case in point, Harry Styles. If you're not familiar with this fellow, he was in a boy band. Jimmy, you've got all of their records. What was the Harry Styles? You love those guys. What were they called?
Hey, no, I don't know. The Backstreet Boys?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I don't know. They were the NSYNC Boys, I think, is what they were. He was in one of those band things. Why aren't we an entertainment talk show? I think we just answered that question. Absolutely. Here's the headline. Harry Styles is now appearing on the cover of Vogue magazine. First time a boy, can I use that word? A boy has appeared on the cover of a woman's magazine. Why? Because the lines are being blurred. If that isn't bad enough, now I know we can chuckle this away, but nevertheless, it's always the fringe that starts this wackiness, but then it becomes increasingly mainstream. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a D from NY, addressed those who criticize the fashion shoot as something unmanly. So now, a boy wearing girls' clothing cannot be criticized as being unmanly. And yet, we've got a boy on the cover of a girl's magazine because he's wearing a girl's dress. That's what qualifies him for. That's, by the way, ladies, that should be very encouraging to you. That's all it takes to be a woman. Just a dress. That's all. Put on a skirt. That's it. That's the only thing that makes you you. How offensive is that? Arguing they should use the moment to search deep within themselves. So now we are getting scolded for criticizing a boy wearing girl's clothing appearing on the cover of a woman's magazine. If you say anything critical about that, guess what? Well, your algorithms might be changed. The story might not appear in a Google search. Facebook might just tighten the screws on you and shut you down. And you'll be criticized for being judgmental and intolerant. Quote from the Congresswoman. Can I call her Congresswoman? Some people are mad at it because folks are very sensitive to examining and exploring gender roles in society. I see. So if you've got a problem with Harry wearing girls' clothing, it's because you're very sensitive to examining gender roles in society. You're the problem. Perhaps for some people it provokes some anger or insecurity around masculinity and femininity. Ah, so if you judge it, it's because you're actually struggling with these issues yourself. Isn't that clever? And an old ruse. If it does, then maybe that's part of the point. Sit with that reaction and think about it. Examine it. Explore it. Engage it and grow with it. Or we will find you. These stories used to be so amusing, didn't they?
Well, the good news with this particular story
is... you got some?
Well, Mike can wear scarves now without worrying.
If he appears on the cover of Vogue magazine, I'm very concerned. A new HBO documentary shows a transition of a four-year-old boy to a girl. Now, this one actually appears to almost have a bit of a happy ending to it. Nevertheless, it's always a mom. There's always a mom involved where a little child, for whatever reason, I wonder where they got these notions, they decide that they want to be an opposite gender. So here's the story of the HBO show. A biological boy named Phoenix. So now you're not just a boy, you're a biological boy. Because don't forget, there's a difference between gender and sex, so they tell us. Nevertheless, Phoenix is brought up on stage by his mother during what appears to be a ceremony affirming people's sexual and gender identities. What is a four-year-old even doing at such an event? When asked if there is anything he would like to say, Phoenix, who is dressed in a pink shirt and a rainbow skirt, immediately backs down from proclaiming his gender identity after being handed a microphone. Well, this doesn't sound like it went as planned. Quote, I'm a little shy, the four-year-old said to his mother as they stood on stage in front of a small gathering. You're a little shy, his mother asked. Do you want to tell everybody if you're a boy or a girl? Maybe the emphasis was mine. Phoenix then replied, I just want to tell them that I'm a girl. And then he said, I don't want to do it. And he handed his mic to the mom. What do you think was going on there with the pressure from mom to stand in front of a group of people and say what even the little child knew wasn't true? Oh, said his mom, Phoenix would like you to know that she's a girl and she prefers she and her pronouns, despite what you just witnessed. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due. The mom seems to have changed her mind. Another clip from the documentary was posted that showed Phoenix's mom sharing how she regretted identifying her son as a girl, including deleting Facebook memories of him mentioned as a girl and changing pronouns back to he. Quote, children are not transgender, she asserts. He's a boy. He's a born boy. He's always been a boy and he'll always be a boy. And maybe there are people who actually are, and it's probably a mental disorder. Whoa. Well, something happened there, and I say good on her for that. Nevertheless, this is on HBO. These are specials. This is the mainstreaming of what this mom thinks is a mental disorder. Target. Let's go back to Target for just a moment, shall we? They had a book on their shelves that was critical of gender transitioning girls. Well, somebody complained. They pulled the book. Well, guess what? Some conservatives complained, and now the book is going back on the shelves. Nevertheless, these stories, they're increasing. These are transgender stories, and they are becoming the increasing norm. And while they once used to be amusing, we would do well to figure out what is going on and how do we deal with these issues, because we do want to be careful, don't we? There are some people who are confused about these things, and we don't want to be the guffawing, scoffing, just all these people are idiot people. No, these are people that have suffered the effects of the fall, just like you and I have, and they need help. They need to have strongholds torn down. They need to have the bad lies of the world system and the devil replaced with truth. And if we fail to keep our eyes on that prize, we are going to be distracted with a flurry of more ridiculous stories of these sorts, and a victory here, a defeat there. But we will lose the war for souls if we forget there are actually people who need to hear Christian truth. Carl Truman helps us in that regard. 10 things you should know about the sexual revolution. 1, it's been a long time in the making. This is not something new. This has been going on now for centuries. 2, it has complicated roots. I think this is important to remember. The roots of the sexual revolution are complicated. First, we see the psychology of the self in the hands of Rousseau and the Romantics. Remember the Romantics? If it feels good, do it, would be their mantra. Then we have the sexualization of psychology, the notion that our sexual desires and their physical satisfaction are the most basic things about us at the hands of Sigmund Freud. Next, we have the politicizing of sex on the new left, whereby oppression is reconciled not so much in economic terms as in psychological terms. The stage is set for debates about sex, one of the most personal and intimate of human realities, to become the most public issue of our day, and so it is. And so today, thanks to psychology, you believe in yourself, you believe what you want to be, you believe what you are, and that's what you truly are. You can thank secular psychology in large part for what we are seeing today. One of the hallmarks of the sexual revolution is the separation of sexual activity from the context of lifelong monogamous relationships. From the trumpeting of promiscuity in the 60s to open marriages, the basic idea is that chaste monogamy is a bad thing that actually prevents us from being truly ourselves. This is not a new idea. William Godwin, 18th century English radical, argued precisely this in his famous work, Political Justice, that the tradition was continued by artists such as Shelley and political theorists from Marx to Lenin. What are we seeing in our culture? It is the fruit of secular ideology. And that should set the stage for us to understand how we should engage with people who are confused about their gender. Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for deciding to join us today on Wretched Radio. We're certainly appreciative of you, and we appreciate your time, and do not take it for granted. We'd also like for you to take some time and check out Wretched TV, a daily 30-minute program with host Todd. Wretched TV contains live witnessing encounters and discussions of tough theological issues and various topics in the Christian community. You can find those full-length Wretched TV episodes available right now at wretched.org/TV. Wretched TV is also available on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV Stick. And it's only because of our gospel partners that we can make Wretched TV available to everyone. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Help us to continue making Wretched available to everyone. Wretched will honor your generous gifts with faithful stewardship and full accountability. You can give online at wretched.org or text the word Wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Trust me, you are going to want to call this number, 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Why? Because you are going to talk to a very nice representative at MediShare who will share with you the benefits of joining over 400,000 Christians who have shared over $4 billion in medical expenses. This is the alternative perhaps you have been praying for regarding health insurance. This is affordable, biblical health sharing. 1-844-34-BIBLE. The MediShare representative will tell you what you can be saving per month. On average, $500 per month per family. See, I told you you'd want to call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Okay, so I don't want to suggest this is a brilliant idea, but this is a brilliant idea. I mean, it's borderline genius. Road Trip to Truth is, as Todd would call, our super groovy and hip resource aimed at evangelical youth. It's a 13-episode series that will equip your kids and grandkids to defend their Christian faith against the attacks of secular humanism. Now, I know what you're thinking, but listen, think again. This is no stodgy, boring, irrelevant TV series. No, it really, truly is an engaging, respectful, and intelligent presentation of the veracity of the Christian faith. Here's my brilliant idea. Order your copy of Road Trip and also get the study guide, and then binge watch the entire series with your kids while we're all on lockdown again at some point. Once you're finished, give your copy and the study guide to the youth pastor at your church so it can be used at your church. Now, not only is that a brilliant, borderline genius idea, it's also a frugal idea, not to brag or anything. Now, go get Road Trip to Truth at roadtriptotruth.org. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church,
look to 1 Corinthians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The new thought, philosophy, and psychology classes were irrelevant. This is Wretched Radio. They were, but they could also be very instructive to help us understand what in the world is going on in our world. Why are people behaving the way that they are? Where do these ideas come from? Where did they begin? And typically, any sort of aberrant thinking has its source in academia, in psychology, in philosophy that is godless. And so it is these days with transgender issues. The push is on right now for you not to just accept that some people feel like this or that way. No, no, no. There's a greater agenda here. It is to demolish any standards, any boundaries, any identifications. It's not going to be pink and blue anymore. It's not boy and girl. It's not how you identify. It's not sex and gender. We're just these amorphous things. That's it. That is the goal. They want to just obliterate the concept of gender and sexuality totally. Why? Does the Bible help us with this? Yes, it does. This is Romans 1 business. This is the desire to destroy anything that is imago Dei, anything that reminds an unregenerate sinner that God exists, he has standards, and they are going to judge them. The only way you can feel better about yourself is by creating a mechanism, evolution, that denies the obvious truth to suppress what is clear so that you can live any way that you want to. And it's not just getting rid of the Creator, it is getting rid of any remnants of him. And that, by the way, has some implications for Christians because, if you will, we are a remnant of God, are we not? We're his representatives on earth. And if they seek to destroy God, what do you think their attitude is toward us? Carl Truman helping us to understand the transgender issue, which we are seeing right on the cover of magazines at your grocer's checkout aisle. On Vogue magazine, Harry Styles, the boy band guy, girl, whatever he's identifying as, he's wearing a dress. Isn't it groundbreaking? Isn't this progressive? No. Don't forget, anything that you are seeing these days under the banner of progressivism, because we know there's nothing new under the sun, it has already existed, it has been tried, it's been found wanting, it has been replaced with a better. We're not progressing, we're regressing. Everything that we see in society, do not forget the history of sexuality, do not forget the history of gender and sex. Because of the fall, perversion happened immediately. Do you remember the early stories of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember the stories of the sexual perversion, even in the Bible? Why? Because of the fall. We see that sexuality went askew because of the effects of the fall. And in every single civilization, it was defined any way that the culture wanted. And basically, the way that the culture defined it is you can be what you want to be, you can do what you want to do to fulfill your sexual pleasure. It was not until the Torah came along when God codified one man, one woman in this type of monogamous relationship. That was groundbreaking. Because prior to that, it was nothing more than the strong and the weak in a sexual relationship. That's it. Those were the rules. Do whatever you want to. Find your sexual fulfillment with any object or anything or any being that you choose. It's just fine. Identify any way you want to. That's just fine. The Bible came along and changed that. It was fulfilled really in much more detail with the New Testament, one man, one woman, covenant relationship, because it's a picture of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. And Western society bought that for give or take 1900 years. Now what are we doing? We're told that we're progressing. No, no, no. We're going to throw off those shackles. We're going to progress so that we can what? Go back to living like we did before the Bible introduced sexual monogamy. We're not progressing, we're regressing. From Carl Truman, three basic foundations of transgenderism. First, it connects to gender theory of the kind developed by Judith Butler, which sees gender as performative. In other words, your gender is how you think and how you act. It's not what you are. See the distinction of the little shell game that we've created here with words? In short, being a man or being a woman is to perform a role or to act in a certain way which society expects from those it denominates as men or women. Biology is not important. The fact that certain behaviors are expected of being with male sex characteristics and others from female sex characteristics is socially constructed. This effectively uncouples gender, the role, from sex, the biology. So try to think of it like this. Gender is how you behave sexually or with mannerisms, voice, what have you, clothing. And your sex is the way that you were born, with boy parts or girl parts. That's the distinction that they're trying to make. And it really is a clever word game. It separates what God does not. And note where this comes from. This comes from secular philosophies, secular psychologies. And so when you perhaps blew these courses off in college, you were getting a little peek into the insight of the secular world and how they're thinking. I suspect we would do well to understand what's being taught today because we'll probably see it on the playing field in 10 or 20 years. Number two, the basic foundations of transgenderism. It depends upon technology. In early societies, men and women were distinguished because of the sheer physical strength of men meant that they were better suited for work, which required heavy lifting. The development of industrialized machinery and now computer technology has effectively neutralized much of the significance of this physical difference. That and the mantra that says men and women are exactly the same. Women can do everything that men can do, and the answer to that is no, they can't, and vice versa. But it's all downplayed these days because strength isn't really something that's needed much these days, is it? Thank you, technology. Did you ever consider that was a consequence? Then the advent of medical procedures, surgical and hormonal, has made plausible the idea that the body can be made to bend to our will on the gender question. That needs to be understood. That is how we have arrived at this destination. Never forget, anytime you see a major societal shift, there are always going to be implications. And here's one of them. We went from a heavy-duty lifting agrarian society to a more mechanized society. Less labor, still some, but less. Now with technology, you don't lift anything but a mouse that needs its battery changed. That opens up the door for there to be a blurring of genders. Third, it rests upon the broad modern conviction that ourselves, who we are essentially psychological. It is who we feel or we think that is the real us. So you determine what you are based on what you want yourself to be. And we've accepted that as rational thinking. It's totally irrational. But that has set the stage now for what we are seeing these days. Carl Truman stating it's not only about sexual behavior. The sexual revolution, it's about identity. Once sexual desire has been made the foundational element of human identity, then debates about sex cease to be debates about how we act and becomes debates about who we are. Believe in yourself, the real you, your truth, speak your truth, be your truth, live your truth. All of those mantras, they do not come out of a vacuum. They come out of psychology. They come out of secular philosophies. It is of profound cultural significance, writes Truman. Needless to say, it's reshaping the meaning of sexual activity and therefore reshaping notions of family, parenthood, and the relationship between genders. This has huge implications for your children and grandchildren. And they are going to get this stuff fed to them in a constant diet on social media, TV, and at university. And believe me, they are really, really trying at university. Don't know if you caught this story. North Carolina College, it's called Guilford College, 183-year-old liberal arts school in Greensboro. 1,500 undergraduates enrolled. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, college enrollment has dropped. So what did they do? Well, according to the College Fix, majors threatened by the president's plan include physics, chemistry, science education, creative writing, community and justice studies, forensic biology, geology and earth sciences, history, mathematics, modern language, peace and conflict studies, religious studies, sociology and anthropology. In other words, we're going to cut all of those programs, majors that are being cut, except for African-American studies and women's gender and sexuality studies. Those have got to stay. And if your kid goes to university, your kid is going to get that stuff. Please note, your kid is going to be shellacked by this business. And if you don't have them shored up and ready before they head off to university, they will no doubt fall sway to their apparently persuasive arguments. Are your kids ready? This might be a good time to sneak in a plug for Road Trip to Truth, but I wouldn't do that, even though it would be a good time to sneak in a plug for Road Trip to Truth, available at wretched.org/roadtrip, to prepare your kids to defend the Christian truths, because they are going to get hammered by philosophy and secular psychology when they run off to university. Are your kids ready? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. A new report from the CDC found that the number of abortions conducted in the U.S. rose slightly from 2017 to 2018, which reverses a consistent decline that began in 2009. The CDC's annual abortion surveillance report was released last Friday. The most recent installment of the report, which documents the number and characteristics of women obtaining legal-induced abortions and number of abortion-related deaths in the U.S., includes data from 2018. Based on data collected from 47 states and New York City, the CDC found that a total of 614,820 abortions were performed in 2018. That number represents a slight increase from the 609,095 abortions performed in the reporting areas in 2017. Adding in data from the District of Columbia brought the number of abortions performed in 2018 up to 619,591. In both 2017 and 2018, data from California, Maryland, and New Hampshire was not included. In totalitarian societies, governments suppress the church and religious worship. That's because dictators think citizens should worship them as the highest authority, and not a higher authority, which they view as a threat to their power and position. In the U.S., religious liberty has been under siege for some time. Last week's Thanksgiving gift to believers from the Supreme Court may only be a temporary reprieve from the government's assault on faith and conscience. The narrow 5-4 ruling serves as a warning that the threat's not over. The court majority ruled that Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York overstepped his authority and the Constitution when he arbitrarily declared that during the COVID-19 pandemic, worship services must be limited to a number he created. Though conservative Christians seem to outweigh their counterparts at the moment on the Supreme Court, the reason we should be concerned is former Vice President Joe Biden has promised to name more liberal judges to federal benches, and if he winds up succeeding, we should expect more challenges to religious freedom and other constitutional rights, including the right to life and the right to keep and bear arms. Well, a woman in New Jersey has filed a lawsuit against Starbucks for wrongful termination after she refused to wear an official company pride t-shirt that she says violated her beliefs. According to a news report, Betsy Fries first contacted Starbucks Ethics and Compliance Helpline asking to be exempt from wearing the pride shirt. Then, in June of 2019, she asked her manager if she would be required to wear the shirt. He told her she would not. She was later fired from the New Jersey store. However, the news report says that Starbucks did not require her to wear the shirt, and a spokesperson of the company said that her claims are without merit. Fries told the ethics and compliance representative of the company that she could not wear the shirt because her religious beliefs prevented her from doing so. In August of 2019, Fries was told that she was being fired because her comportment was not in compliance with Starbucks' core values. According to another news report, her termination notice cited Fries for saying she did not want to wear the t-shirt and saying that her coworkers needed Jesus. In her lawsuit, Fries said that all people need Jesus and Christians are called to express in word and deed Christ's love for everyone. Amen. She also said that her coworkers knew she was a Christian, but she did not talk about her beliefs on sexuality unless someone made a specific inquiry. According to filings, Fries believes that God created man and woman, that marriage is defined in the Bible as between one man and one woman only, and that any sexual activity which takes place outside the context is contrary to her understanding of biblical teaching. In her lawsuit, Fries is seeking back pay with interest plus compensation for emotional pain and suffering and punitive damages. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
In important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not that you've ever wondered. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps, perchance, okay, not likely, but if you ever ask the question, so why doesn't the tall, skinny host of Wretched Radio still do stand-up comedy? Well, I would like to demonstrate exactly why I do not do that. True story, there's going to be a Christian airline. I'm not kidding. A Christian airline in 2021. There's a lot of details that are missing. Nevertheless, while that is most certainly true, oh, the confusion and the problems have already begun with the Christian airline. For instance, they've already split because they couldn't decide what kind of Christian airline they wanted to be.
Oh, they didn't split over the worship music, over the...
No. all kinds of confusion happened at the meetings. You see, the of course, the Methodists at the meeting, they wanted all female pilots, and that wasn't flying with the Baptist, or at least some of the Baptists these days. You had some people who insisted that all of the announcements end with amen. Not everybody agreed on that. They determined that they were going to provide baptisms. That, of course, it revealed all kinds of potential problems. So they decided they could only baptize Lutherans and Presbyterians because of the sprinkling business. Yeah, you could get away with that. But see, it's not easy being a Christian ministry these days. Oh, by the way, the beverage choices, you had two. You could have grape juice or you could have grape juice. That they did get. Unleavened biscotti cookies were also going to be offered. By the way, they've already announced that they are selling tickets for the new Christian airline, and it's amazing, but all of the back seats sold out first because that's
first class.
That's the way that it works right there. Apparently, there's already another breakoff that's happening. It's going to be an Armenian airline, which I find to be really, you can choose to fly or not. Apparently. Now, on the other hand, you've got yourself some Calvinists that have broken off to start their own version of an airline, too. And the flight attendants, well, they just aren't very friendly. So that they aren't, right? Todd, how long is this going to last? Oh, I'm not done yet. Remember, I had COVID and I had some free time. Let's see, what is this? Okay, this one is actually kind of funny. On the Christian Airlines, if you're a Presbyterian, your kids fly for free. And if you happen to be a member of Grace Community Church, you do not need to wear a seatbelt because nobody from Grace Community Church has ever crashed before. So there's that, right? Friel, are you done yet? Oh, no, I most certainly am not. The Episcopalian branch of the Christian Airlines. They've broken off already to start their own version of a Christian Airlines. They, however, sometimes actually will drive passengers because they aren't exactly sure that they're an airline. Episcopalians, right there. If it's the NAR branch, yeah, the plane needs constant, ongoing refilling. I'm sorry. I didn't say these were going to amuse you. I'm amusing myself. Barely. All right. And then finally, if you happen to be a member of a local church, this is what's already happening on the new Christian airline. You're going to be, the local church section is only 10% full. And when they were asked to clean up their own area, they started to complain and then went on to another airline. Because that's what we do with the local. Thank you.
And there it is.
Thank you very much.
And that's why Todd doesn't do stand-up
comedy anymore. But you know, when you have the COVID and you're on a lot of medication, you got to do something to fill your time. Don't judge. This is the 21st century and there's none of that business. Speaking of judges, however, thank you. That was a segue. Justice Alito giving a little speech saying something that isn't a shocker to any of us. Religious liberty is in danger of becoming a second-class right. Uh-oh. In certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right. He's Catholic, by the way. The pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. And so it is. It appears that we are going to be seeing around 2 or 3 or 10, however you're keeping score, that churches might be asked to shut down again. I wonder if it'll look different this time. It will be fascinating to watch. As we potentially enter into this season, please keep in mind, good Christian brothers and sisters are going to have a different take on it than you might. And we have got to allow that sort of liberty for one another, especially as we get hit by articles telling us the church can play a role in the COVID vaccination. Oh, boy. I don't know if you've been following any of the statistics on the percentage of Americans who are deciding whether or not they want to do the COVID shot when it becomes mandated or when it becomes available. But it's about half right now. It's actually about half of Americans are saying no thanks. Now, the numbers, they go up, they fluctuate a little bit here, a little bit there. But basically, they're saying half of Americans are saying it's not for me. Please note, as best I can tell so far, the three lines that they have discovered that appear to be effective, they were created without using fetal stem cells. You should know that because I do believe that is a consideration for every evangelical as you go about the business of deciding, hey, do I want to participate in this or not? I think that's a valid consideration. It does not appear to be the case in this instance. However, there is another issue that I think is the big catch for a lot of evangelicals. I think there's two more. One would be whether or not it's really needed. There are some people who don't think that it is. Others say it absolutely is. But then you've got the issue of safety. With this operation rush to market, is this something that is safe for you and for your family? I'm not trying to persuade you one way or another, but you would do well to do some Googling if they still allow you to get this information. I believe it was under the Ford presidency where there was a mandated vaccine that they tried to rush to market and they had to pull it straight away. My recollection from that was narcolepsy, that people that were getting the shot, they were just falling asleep all over the place. And I don't know that they ever recovered from that. And while maybe that doesn't sound like a terrible sort of consequence, I suspect it is if you've got it. You can't drive. You perhaps can't work. The dangers that are involved, you just boink, sound asleep. Now, maybe for some people who struggle with sleep, that sounds like a blessing. I suspect to the people who have narcolepsy, it's a curse. Nevertheless, there have been historical instances where there have been rushes to market with vaccines, and the consequences in some of these instances have not been good. It is up to you to figure out if you believe that this upcoming vaccination, which it appears will very probably be mandated, if it is something that you believe is safe for you and for your family. Because remember, that is your responsibility, Christian, mom and dad, especially yours. You need to make that decision. Is this something that is going to be good for my kids, or is this something that is not going to be good for my kids? And by the way, if you think Judge Samuel Alito is perhaps a little bit nuts for thinking that religious liberty is going to get shut down here, government restrictions on religion worldwide set record high, according to a new Pew study. That's right. The Pew Research Center shows that government restrictions on religion around the world have risen to a record level amid increases in government restrictions on religions in Asia and Pacific countries, most notably. This is from 2018. 28% of countries have high or very high government restrictions on religion. Please don't think that it cannot happen here. There is nothing different in the DNA of pagans in America versus in the Pacific Rim. It's the same. They hate the Lord. They hate the Lord's followers. In the Middle East, North Africa, 90% of the countries have high or very high levels of government restrictions on religion. Out of 5 regions examined in the study, the Middle East and North Africa continued to have the highest median level of government restrictions in 2018. However, Asia and the Pacific have had the largest increase in the median government restrictions score. Please note, There's something in common in those areas, and it rhymes with Muslim. In China, holding approximately 800,000, maybe 2 million Uyghur and other ethnic Muslims in eastern Xinjiang province at detention camps designed to erase religious and ethnic identities. No doubt you've seen some of the interviews of Chinese officials being asked, hey, these photos that we have from satellites, it appears that these are like detention camps with a lot of people in them. No, that is not true. That is a lie. And then, of course, it's revealed they were lying. Why? Because pagans lie. And I fear that we are entering into that era in the West when we are seeing increasingly the ability to be Machiavellian, that it is okay for a politician to lie as long as the ends justify the means. We can tell people that we're moderate when we're really progressive because these non-open-minded Southerners are just too stupid. So we're just going to lie to them, but that's okay because we'll spring it on them and they'll learn to love it. If you don't think it can happen here, it's already happening in ungodly nations around the globe. Encourage you, if you are not ready for these shifting sands that your feet are currently standing on, you might want to consider studying 1 Peter really, really well. This is Wretched Radio. If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
While 2020 may have been a historical kick in our collective shins, the Lord is still building his church, and Wretched has not lost an ounce of enthusiasm for participating in the Great Commission. That's why I'm pleased to report to you that Wretched has reached more people than ever with the good news of Jesus Christ in 2020. No matter what 2021 brings, we have absolutely no intention of slowing down, and we'd like to invite you to join us in our effort to preach the gospel, equip the saints to defend the truth, and strengthen the local church. So would you please remember Wretched as you consider your year-end giving? The more support you provide us, the harder we will work to reach a lost and dying world through electronic media while we can. Please remember Wretched as 2020 draws to a close and we begin a new year and a new opportunity to share the amazing gospel. To support Wretched, visit wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you gotta see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you gotta see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched? See the work that they're doing and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in.
But those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you think the human body looks like it was randomly assembled, or do you think it looked like it was intentionally designed?
It would make sense if it was intentionally designed, because I, like, what little I know about, like, anatomy and stuff like that, like, literally everything has a purpose. Like, every part of your body has a purpose.
I would say there's a lot of randomness in it, and there's a lot of things that look kind of random.
There's no way I can think it's random chance. Definitely design.
If you believe in evolution and stuff like that, it might not be very intricately designed.
I have no clue. I'm a finance major.
I'm sorry. I happen to be married to one of those. This is Wretched Radio. That was from Road Trip to Truth, Season 1. That's from Episode 4, dealing with the issue of origins. How did we human beings get here? Did this all happen by itself? Were we big banged? Was there any sort of a designer involved? To answer that question, we sought out an expert who really is an expert. His name is Dr. Jason Lyle. If you've ever been to Answers in Genesis, if you visited the Creation Museum, the Planetarium, the fellow who designed that is Dr. Jason Lyle. I don't want to brag on him, but he's actually discovered a thing. I don't want to get all complicated here. A thing in the universe that had stuff to do with, like, the sun and, like, the way that it shoots things and other intricate scientific terms that you probably wouldn't understand like the rest of us. In other words, he's a really smart guy, and he had a conversation with John Fabares, the host of Road Trip to Truth. You can share this with your youth group if you get it at wretched.org/roadtrip. Imagine your kids hearing this.
Dr. Jason Lyle, astrophysicist and avid Star Trek fan. Dr. Lyle has a PhD in astrophysics from the University of Colorado. He's well acquainted with theories on the origin of life.
Can we just start off by saying, what is a good definition of evolution?
Well, the word just means change, and we all agree things change, so there's no doubt there. But usually when people, when they're talking in the sense of biology, they're usually referring to Darwinian or neo-Darwinian evolution, which is the idea that all forms of life on Earth have a common ancestor that they've descended from, something like a bacterium, that over millions of years of mutations and natural selection eventually became everything else. Right. So in that view, you are related to broccoli. That's your sure. distant cousin.
From the beginning of time, there was the one cell that survived all the Earth being a hot, fiery mass. And then from that, it came to, like, bacteria, plants, animals, and then from that, us.
Do you think that there's any evidence for the large-scale evolution that people claim to believe in?
First of all, we don't find in the fossil record, we don't find evidence of one basic kind becoming another. We certainly find variation within a kind. There's different varieties of elephants, some of which are now extinct. We believe mammoths are part of the elephant kind. They're genuinely related to modern elephants, but that particular variety has gone extinct. And you find different varieties of horse, and the way their feet are a little bit different, the number of ribs are a little bit different, so on, but they're still horses.
Yeah.
So variation within a kind, we find that all throughout the fossil record. But we don't find evidence of a reptile becoming a bird, despite what they claim. It's not there.
It's a razzle-dazzle of a word flurry trying to get your kids to think, yeah, we actually came from a hot, fiery mess. Honestly, what comes from a hot, fiery mess that is organized, that is designed, that is intricate? And the answer to that is nothing. But if you do a little chin boogie with the word evolution, that there's massive changes, minor changes, changes within species and kinds, why and law, you have a grand deception.
2,000 years ago, the Bible addressed the issue of unbelief. The book of Romans says, "Wicked people suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." 20th century philosopher Aldous Huxley pretty much said the exact same thing. For myself, as no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation. The liberation we desired was from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom.
Wah and la. Isn't that an honest quote from an unbeliever? We needed a mechanism to suppress what is obvious so we can live any way that we want to. Congratulations to Aldous Huxley. He basically just personified Romans 1.
Most people assume that evolution is the only rational explanation, right? Do you think evolution is rational or irrational?
I don't believe it's rational. I don't believe that there are good reasons to believe it. People who believe in evolution, most of them haven't really thought it through. Most of the people that I interact with, they believe evolution because their teachers taught it to them. And their teachers, you ask them, they believe it because their teachers taught it to them. They don't have good independent reasons. And then if I ask them, well, what's your specific evidence? That sometimes they'll say, well, fossils. And they'll say, well, what fossils do you think prove evolution? And then they can't give me an answer. They believe it because other people believe it. And then the very few that are aware that there's really not good evidence for evolution, they believe it because the alternative is too horrible for them to accept that God created. They just don't want to believe that.
Can I tell you? We can learn a little something from Dr. Jason Lyle, and it's not just his scientific knowledge. I never expect to attain that ability, but his tone. It was just set up on a tee for him to slaughter unbelievers. Yeah, boy, aren't they stupid? There's just no reason for them. Yeah, it's like somebody just made this cup of coffee. It just happened all by itself. Duh. None of that. I don't believe that there is a reasonable reason to believe in the theory of evolution. And here's why. And he's very matter-of-fact about it, not argumentative, and yet very clear. We can learn not just knowledge stuff, but also how to deliver that knowledge.
The historical roots of abortion were eugenics, and they were social Darwinism, right?
Yeah. They used to even teach that embryology recapitulates phylogeny. The unborn child goes through the different stages of evolution. It goes through a fish stage and then these other, you know, an amphibian stage and so on. Well, not, that's not true. There's no biological basis for that. Human beings are human beings from the beginning. They have the DNA of human beings. They don't ever develop gills or anything like that. No, that's not true. But nonetheless, you'll read that in some of the textbooks today occasionally will still have that. It's just more like an animal, it's more like a fish. And people used to justify abortion that way.
What is inside of a pregnant woman's womb?
The embryo, right?
Is that embryo a human being?
He's going to be a human being.
Do you think that fetus is a human being?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Would you consider yourself pro-life or pro-choice?
It depends on the situation. Situation. Always situational.
It's the start of a human being, but it can't, like, think or, like, comprehend anything.
So do you think a person has to think or comprehend to be valuable?
No. No.
God looks at children far differently than we do in our society. You don't want children. That's going to be an inconvenience to you, so we'll abort those and so on. That's horrible, whereas, you know, children are a blessing from God. Today, the conversation has shifted, and it's just become accepted. Most people today recognize that an unborn child is a human being, but they just don't feel that it's wrong. They used to use evolution to argue for that. Now it's to the point where it's become so accepted they don't need to bother anymore.
Now, worldviews have implications, do they not? Dr. Jason Lyle from Road Trip to Truth. That was episode 4, dealing with the subject of origins and its implications. Remember, as Aldous Huxley said, it is used to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, quoting Romans 1 without actually knowing that. But this awful worldview of evolution, it has implications for how we treat babies in the womb. Would like to encourage you to get yourself a copy of Road Trip to Truth for your family. You know, we might be getting shut down again, and you're going to be scrawling through the Netflix or the Amazon Prime. What could we possibly watch? Is there anything for us to view? Answer, Road Trip to Truth. You can binge watch 13 episodes. And if you take the time to stop between each episode and talk to your kids about it, you will be shocked at the dialogue that will take place. I'm telling you, your kids will maybe reveal that they have a lot more apprehensions and concerns about the Christian faith because they have been so indoctrinated with this glop on origins. they are getting bombarded by it. And you might be shocked that they reveal that they have been perhaps persuaded by some or much of it. And this will give you the opportunity to talk about it. Would encourage you to get Road Trip to Truth, wretched.org/roadtrip. And if and I might also, as long as Jason Lyle brought up the subject of life, the war rages on for the lives of babies. Would you please consider supporting Preborn Ministries? Right now, they've got a match going into the end of the year. It's year-end giving time. And if you can support that wonderful life ministry, they give ultrasounds away, which saves the life of a baby 80% of the time. And they preach the gospel to mommies and the daddies, which is the surefire way to stop the cycle of abortion. It's an excellent ministry, and you can support it at preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. In fact, you can even do that while you're watching Road Trip to Truth when you're locked down on your couch again. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.